Hey there, this is Brian Zond, and welcome to my sermon podcast. I'm glad that you're interested in the sermons that I preach here at Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And if you ever feel inclined to help us by supporting us financially, you can do that at our website, WOLC.com. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Word of Life Church in the Upper Room and Stories of Forgiveness. We're going to hear another wonderful story. And if you don't know, we are recording these and making it available on our website. So if you weren't here last week and you missed the story from Glenn and Heather Taylor, that's online. You can find that in our sermon section. But I got Bob and Candy who are going to share tonight. So I invite you guys to come up and you can give them a hand as they come. You are allowed to bring your water, yes. I'm going to open us with, you sit here by me, Bob. I got to keep an eye on you. I want to read some scriptures as we get started. Here on Wednesday night, as a part of our midweek, we've been hearing stories of forgiveness, and Pastor Brian has been teaching Sunday mornings on the way of forgiveness. And to kind of weave those two together, I'm just going to read some, just a few scripture verses here from Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And you can read into this any kind of relationship you want to. How many times is my husband going to sin against me and I have to forgive him? Seven times? Well, maybe the first week that you're married, but Or you may put in there, Lord, how many times is my friend at church going to sin against me and I have to forgive them? Seven times? And all of you who've been in church a long time laugh at that, right? Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are following you because we believe in you. We believe that you are the way and the truth, that you are the life, that you are the way to the life of the age to come, the good life. Lord Jesus, as we're following after you, we are learning your ways of forgiveness. We want to be formed in that. We want to be people of forgiveness. So we ask tonight, Lord, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that as we hear of stories of forgiveness, that, Lord, we would be changed, encouraged, motivated to be a forgiving people. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. I first want to introduce to you Bob Johnson, who happens to be one of my favorite people in the whole world. Bob has been leading our divorce and relationship recovery ministry here at Word of Life Church. And so before we hear a story of forgiveness, I wanted you to hear a little bit about Bob and his ministry here at Word of Life. So Bob, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Do you want me to start with age or?
You can start anywhere you want.
Well, I've been coming out to Word of Life for, I guess, about 5 years, maybe a little longer, and I can tell you that this is a rich place to be. It's good for your soul and your heart, and it's helped a lot in our ministry. They have been so kind to let us and support the divorce recovery ministry. The divorce recovery ministry started, I guess we started in it in 1980. Under a mentor for 2 years, and in 1982, my wife and I began the ministry together, and I've been doing it since then. But divorce relationship recovery, as so many people today go through that terrible time, And we are blessed to be able to offer them some relief. And we have our classes, it's 12 weeks. We try to touch every phase of it so that when we get through the 12 weeks, they are recovered to a good point where they can move on. And again, what a blessing that we have a church who will support that, and they have just been so kind to us. But it's great to see people come in knowing that their tears will dry up and they will begin to smile. And that's our goal. But it's also good to have support like this guy sitting next to me who is always willing to help. But
now the material for your course, I've seen what you teach, and it is rich content that's been cultivated over years of experience working with people who are working through the pain and suffering of divorce. And you teach forgiveness. One of the whole weeks is on forgiveness. What's some of the things that you talk about specifically in talking to people who have gone through divorce?
Well, it's in the beginning, we talk to them about getting acclimated to getting better. And there's a whole week on anger, forgiveness, and so many classes. I'd like to say there's 12 weeks of it. But we try to touch all the things that will help them move on in life without reliving the past. And looking back at yesterday and always looking back, they get up in the morning, we try to get them a script. So if they start off the day, they can have something. If they wake up reliving yesterday, well, if we have to get you a script, we will. So it'll tell you what to start with today. Okay. But the idea is that to begin each day knowing that God has given us such a great time, a great day, and he is going to be with us every step that we take.
Now, Bob, how many people do you think have gone through this course? If you started in 1980, just give us a rough estimate. What do you think? How many people have gone through divorce recovery with you? I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
I don't know. 2,000 or 3,000 probably.
Not in the hundreds, probably thousands.
Yeah.
And so this is a ministry that you've been leading here for about 5 years, and I know numbers of people, some of you here right now with us, who have gone through divorce recovery and have experienced so much of the grace of God. So thank you, Bob, for all that you do. We were going to have two stories tonight, but one of our participants had a sick kid and couldn't make it tonight. But Candy Draper is with us, and she is going to share her experience. She has been involved in divorce recovery and is now one of our facilitators and our leaders in there. And she attends a different church, but still participates in divorce recovery, and she's our sister in Christ. So, Candy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, just a real brief background on me. I grew up in a pastor's home, married at a very young age, left home, and thinking life was going to be great. Well, it didn't always work out that way. My ex-husband and I were married for 36 years. And before our divorce, he was a pastor in a church. And through a series of events, I found out that he was having an affair while he was in the ministry. And it just went from there. And the whole story really begins from that point on. When I came here in 2011, my divorce was final, had been for about a year. But believe me, I was still reeling and hurting so badly. I knew I needed to find somewhere where people like me, they understood how I felt and why I felt that way. And so I sought out a divorce recovery group. And at the time where I work at Village East Towers, one of my residents said, well, there's a group out at Grace. It was going on at Grace at the time. And so I thought, Well, I really need to do this, but I have to tell you, the first night I walked into Bob's class, there was a lot of people there, and I didn't know anyone. And I tell you, it was took all the courage I had not to turn around and walk out of there. You just feel like you're labeled. There's that big D across your head, and everybody knows you're divorced. And that night, Bob kept telling me, he said, it's going to get better. Just keep coming. It's going to get better. And it did. So,
well, tell us a little bit, and you feel, I want you to feel comfortable to share as much as you want, but I can tell you you're among friends.
Yes.
So I don't want to press you too deep to share too much, but talk to me a little bit about your marriage as it was coming to an end.
Okay.
and how you were feeling and some of the emotions during that time.
Well, I think underneath all along, I knew things weren't right. I was angry at God. Number one, I didn't want to be a pastor's wife. Growing up in a home like that, I knew what my mother went through, and I didn't want any part of that. And my ex-husband didn't ask for my opinion. He just did it. And we just grew apart, started growing apart, and it came to the point where eventually he said to me, well, I guess if my wife isn't going to support and come on board, I'll just have to divorce her. And that's like, ugh. You know, I mean, I didn't believe in divorce, and I still don't, but things happen, and God's still in that. So he got out of the ministry. We moved back to Kansas, and I thought that the reason he left the ministry was me, because I didn't want to be there. Well, not long after that, when we moved out to Indiana, a good friend of mine said to me one night, she said, Candy, I want you to ask Brad why he really left the ministry. I said, I don't need to ask him. I know why. Everybody knew it. Candy finally got what she wanted. She said, Candy, I'm telling you, you need to ask him why he really left the ministry. Well, there was a part of me that didn't want to ask that because I didn't want to know the answer, but I did. And he confessed that he'd been having an affair with someone he worked with in the church, and that's like somebody pointing an arrow in your heart. It was very hard. And he said, I just couldn't live the lie anymore. Being a pastor, you get up there, you counsel with couples and all this. He couldn't live the lie anymore. And everything from that point on just began to deteriorate even more. He started traveling. And of course, in his travels, he met someone in Pennsylvania, and I found out the backwards way, the hard way, that he'd been living with her for quite some time. We were married still, and that wasn't a pleasant thing either, not at all. And I couldn't talk to him. He couldn't talk to me. It just, and I have to be honest, you know what? I wasn't an easy person to talk to, and I was not an easy person as far as being able to forgive. I mean, when somebody upset me and made me mad, they made me mad, and you knew it. And it wasn't easy for me to forgive. So the very fact that I am where I am today is a miracle, literally, because if I could have done it on my own, I would have done it, but I couldn't without the Lord's help.
So tell us a little bit about when you joined Bob's group. So you show up, and there's this room full of strangers, and you feel like you have the big D on your forehead. What was that first night like?
It was different. I had been a part of a divorce recovery group in Indiana, where I was living at the time, and unbelievably, most of them were men in my group. I walked in and you have all these people laughing and, you know, carrying on conversations and talking, and I just felt so out of place. You know, when you've been a couple for 36 years and then all of a sudden you're not, you just don't know where you fit. But they all welcomed me graciously. Bob did, of course, and he spoke with me afterwards and encouraged me. And I just kept going. I made myself keep going because I knew I wasn't going to get anywhere unless I did.
So what was your experience like in the diverse recovery group? What did you learn, particularly about forgiveness?
Well, Bob said it's... once you go through a class, you know, we're supposed to get to the point where you can move on. I had to go through it twice because I'm not an easy case. I'm kind of their poster child for anger. I had a huge anger issue. Anger just consumed me. I wanted to hurt my ex-husband, and I wanted him to pay and pay dearly. But being a Christian, I knew that was wrong. I knew what the Bible said, that we are to forgive our brother when they sin against us, or our Father in heaven won't forgive us. And even though I knew that, I still wanted everybody to know how angry I was and how much of a right I had to be angry. And all of them in that group just welcomed me in. And I'll tell you, my normal reaction is to pull away and isolate. I'm not going to let anybody get in close enough to ever hurt me again. They wouldn't let me. They wouldn't leave me alone. They wouldn't let me. I really thought that they were going to do to me what my ex-husband had done, throw me out. Get to know me and realize she's not worth the effort, you know, just get rid of her. I felt like an old shoe that you get tired of and you just throw it out when you're done with it. But they didn't do that. They kept listening. And in the classes, we had small groups. We talked about these things. We all had the opportunity to share. And they got me started going, not just the classes, but... when you've been married and all of a sudden you're single, where do you go out to, you know? I mean, who do you go out with? But we would always go out afterwards to Perkins, and it was a wonderful opportunity for me just to share and hear others' stories, although I think I kind of monopolized that a lot of the time, unfortunately, but... the classes, when we got to the part on anger, that was great. I thought, boy, this is it. Mm-hmm. And then we hit the forgiveness part. And I thought, well, you see, men were not on my really like book at that time. I had no intention of ever having anything to do with a man again. And there were a lot of men in there. And you know what I found out? They hurt just as bad as we do.
That's right.
You know, it affects them the same way. And when you have someone to share that pain with, it's just so much easier because my friends would say things to me like, oh, you're better off without him. You'll find somebody better. I didn't want to hear that. You know, and they would say, well, just get over it, move on. And, oh, I got so angry. I said, you know what? Why don't you tell me how to do that, and I'll be happy to do it.
It seems like that's the common perception. People are hurting, mm-hmm. and the response is, get over it and move on with your life.
But
we learn in divorce recovery are the steps necessary to deal with the pain
first. Exactly, and we were all hurting. But the good thing is a lot of them in that group had already been through the steps. They had already been through the process, so they understood completely where I was at, and they listened. And that was an encouragement to me because I thought, maybe, just maybe I can get through this someday, because I'll tell you, people, I went to church every Sunday and walked out in tears. I'd given up hope. I really thought, God's just dumped me out here. He's abandoned me. I'm never going to get past this. My life is over. And that's a terrible place to be without hope. And they offered some hope to me. People in my church did. I do have to just share this one little, well, it's a big piece to me. God sent someone into my life one Sunday after a church service. I was walking out crying as normal. And this person came up to me, somebody I didn't know who she was. And she introduced herself and she said to me, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your story, but I want you to know God has told me for 3 weeks now to be praying for you. And I thought, And she said, and he has a message for you. Now, I don't know that these are the exact words she said, but this is what I took from it. God said, don't give up, Candy. There is hope. You are going to get through this. Don't give up hope. Wow, I thought, man, God must really love me if he sent a stranger, somebody I did not know. And I spent some time with her praying and working through some things. And she was a big part also of my healing and kept encouraging me to keep going through the process of working up to forgiveness.
So tell us the steps that you had to take in forgiving your ex-husband.
Well, first of all, I didn't want to accept that I played any part in the breakdown of our marriage. It was all him. I had nothing to do with it. Well, God wasn't having anything to do with that. And I journaled. I wrote whatever was on my mind and my heart. God knew it. I figured I might as well write it anyway. He knows it, and I think he can handle it. But that turned out to be a great prayer time for me, and that's when God spoke to me the most. I was stuck in this forgiveness thing, and I remember one night clearly, I woke up just out of the blue at 3:00 in the morning. I don't do that. I like my sleep. And I thought, what is going on? I got up and I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I really would like to go back to sleep. But he wouldn't let me. So I started journaling. And oh my goodness, the things that he told me during that time just pierced my heart. And one of the things God said to me is, Candy, you know what? You're not innocent in this. You played a very big part in the breakdown of your marriage. I didn't want to hear that. And then he told me, he said, you're going to apologize to your ex-husband. I just about dropped. I said, I have to apologize to him after what he did to me? Why? And I'm crying. I don't want to do this. Lord, why are you asking this of me? And God told me, he said, Candy, this is not what I planned for you. I want you to enjoy peace and happiness and the life that I've planned for you. And as long as you want to stay stuck in this and harbor that anger, that bitterness, that unforgiveness, the resentment, you name it, I harbored it. He said, it's not going to change. So he gave me 27 very specific items that I wrote down. And he said, you're going to apologize to your ex for every one of these. And I thought, oh my gosh. Oh, I told, well, he's my husband now, but I told him, I said, I don't want to do this. And he kept telling me, he said, Candy, you're going to have to be able to talk to Brad. You guys have kids and grandkids. I said, no, I don't have to. But God said, yes, you do. So it took me a couple of days to work up the courage to call my ex, because conversations we'd had up to that point, trust me, were not good. And when he picked up the phone and heard my voice, I could almost hear it like, oh, my God, what's coming now? And I just said, I told him exactly what I told you. I said, Brad, all I'm asking you to do is please just let me say what I need to say. God has directed me to do this, and I'm doing this because God told me I need to do this. And so I listed all those and apologized for all of them. I said, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry that for all those things, and I need you to forgive me. And he said to me, he said, well, you're forgiven. You've been forgiven. Of course, immediately the enemy came at me and said, well, he hasn't asked you to forgive him. Well, I just pushed that away because it wasn't about him. It was about me. Yeah. And one of the things God told me, said, Candy, you're never going to be free unless you let go and forgive. It wasn't for Brad. It was for me. I wasn't hurting him by harboring that unforgiveness. I was hurting me and losing my children in the process because I wanted my kids to hate their dad. I wanted them to turn their back on him, but he's their father. And that's one of the other things I learned in the class is don't vent. And my kids were all grown. Don't vent on your kids. Vent on those in the class. They know, they understand, it's safe. And I nearly lost my children over this. But my ex and I ended up talking on the phone for about an hour and a half, mainly about the kids and different things. And I'll tell you, after that conversation, I felt like somebody had just walked up behind me and lifted the biggest boulder ever off of my back. I didn't realize I had been beat down so badly and dragging all that stuff with me until that happened. And of course, I kept journaling, but I took it one step further. I called all of my children. My kids couldn't talk to me. They were afraid to talk to me because obviously they don't want to hear about how bad their father is. He's still their father. And I called each one of them. And I'll never forget, my son was in tears. He said, Mom, I can't tell you how happy that makes me. He said, I love you, and I love my dad. And I want my dad happy, and I want my mom happy, but I don't want World War III. And he said, I can't tell you how many times I literally had to muster up enough emotional support to even talk to you on the phone. And I said, it's okay, Jeremy, I know. But I said, I can tell you, having done what God asked me to do, it started my journey. It didn't happen overnight. It started my journey to complete forgiveness. And when I knew that I had forgiven him, for sure, was the first time that I met the other woman.
Wow.
He married her, and my granddaughter was graduating from high school. And, of course, I had met Veldon, and I'd come a long way by then, Bob.
I know you did.
Yeah, a long way. And we were all going to meet for my granddaughter's graduation, and I knew I'd never met this woman, you know, but I felt a peace in my heart. I knew God had already begun working on me because not only did I have to apologize to him, God instructed me to apologize to her.
Wow.
That was harder because it was harder.
Sure.
I'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
I had been very mean and hateful to her. Very mean and hateful. Something a Christian should never do. I'm not proud of that, but I did. I asked her to forgive me, and she did. So this is our first meeting, and my kids and their father were all kind of standing around on pins and needles wondering, is the real mom going to come out now? Fight, fight, fight. I walked in. Now, this is how I knew God had done the work in me. I walked in that house, and I walked up to Mary. And I said, Mary, it's really nice to meet you. And I gave her a hug. And you know what? I didn't feel any anger. I didn't feel any resentment. I didn't feel any bitterness. I was okay. That's an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
To know that you're free from that kind of stuff that can really cripple you. And that began a complete turnaround for me. And my children got to watch this mom they didn't know. I mean, this isn't the mom they grew up with. Literally change completely. It was awesome to know that my children could finally see their mother happy and not angry all the time.
Wow.
And people, I have to tell you, you're number one, you're never going to get through something like this apart from God. There is no way that I could have done this had God not intervened. And I thank God that He loved me too much to let me stay where I was. The past was the past. It was my story. It was just a part of who made me what I am. I wasn't going to live in the past anymore. It was my past. And we had a wonderful time at my granddaughter's graduation with my ex and his wife and we weren't married yet then, Veldon and I weren't, but we had a great time. And I'll tell you, from that point on, believe it or not, we meet regularly for Christmases, for birthdays, for graduations, all of us. In fact, the four of us went to one of my grandson's football games and just had a great time. And people look at me when I say that and say, you got to be kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. I never thought that would ever happen for me. But that shows you the power of forgiveness and the power that God has to change hearts. He did a complete heart change in me.
Wow.
And I decided then that I wanted to I want to offer that hope to those out there who are where I was at. They'd given up hope. It's never going to change. I wanted to be able to tell them, it's not going to be like this forever. You can get through this.
Yeah.
And you will get through this. Because I see it all the time. I look at people in the group and some of them I can look at and I can just see the hopelessness in their eyes. And when you see one of them start to come out of that and start to turn, it's such a blessing to know that you've played a small part in helping them to get to that point. And they're not there yet. I said, you know what? We all go at different paces. It doesn't happen the same for all of us. They said, I'll never be able to do that. I said, well, I said the same thing, and look what happened. It did. I said, I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying it is wonderful to be able to be with my children and my grandchildren and their father and have a great time.
And this is the hope. I mean,
the hope
is that God is present.
Yes.
And the hope is in the power of forgiveness.
Yes.
Not to preach Pastor Brian's sermon from Sunday. I know the title, there is no future without forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Because if we do not forgive, we just recycle the pain.
Exactly.
So you had been hurt.
Very.
And so you were hurting others because hurt people hurt people.
We want them to hurt as much as we hurt.
Right. But then when we identify with Jesus, who is our ultimate example, who when the sins of the world were being hurled upon him, responds to all that ugliness and hate and sin with forgiving love, when we do the same thing, then there's hope. There's hope for Christmas, and there's hope for grandchildren's graduations. But without that forgiveness,
it wouldn't have
it's
happened.
World War III, like your kids were saying.
It would have been. I would have tried to kill her. I mean, I did $3,000 worth of damage to her truck one time. I'm not proud of that.
Oh,
I'm not saying
my.
You need to do that. But
yes, we're not advising that.
No,
don't go
do
all
that.
Carrie Underwood on them and
no,
stuff.
No, 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 no.
That's Candy, not... Candy, let me ask. Did your ex ever ask for forgiveness?
He did.
He did.
When our daughter, our oldest daughter, got remarried down in Edmond, Oklahoma, my ex and I were both there without our other halves.
Yes.
And Brad and I got a chance to really talk. I went over, we danced together, and I said, Brad, listen, I want you to know everything's okay. I'm okay. I'm happy. I'm glad you're happy. He said to me, Candy, I'm so sorry for what I did to you and how I did it. And I said, Brad, you know what? It wouldn't have mattered how you'd done it. It still would have hurt. Right. Even if I'd have known or seen the red flags, or it wouldn't. I said, but it's okay. It's in the past. It's back there now. It's just there. It's a part of my story. And that was a healing between he and I. You know, the fact that I could even talk to him was a miracle.
Sure.
And enjoy. You know, we joke around about funny stories that happened with the kids when they were little. And it's really kind of funny, though. My husband told my ex one day, he said, Brad, it's not a good idea for your wife and your ex-wife to be good friends.
You know, one of the good parts about this story is her husband, Veldon, he came through our classes.
Yep, okay. He did.
And he was a facilitator for me for quite a while. And I remember one day after he had met Candy, and this was one when she was a little bit angry yet.
And
he said, you know, I'm kind of afraid to talk to her. So, but he got past that, and but he was a facilitator in our group for quite a while, and but he's a kind, gentle guy.
Yeah.
He could be stern when he needed to be.
Yeah.
He told me things I didn't want to hear, but he said, I'm going to tell you anyway.
And so. He would, and he was a big, God put him there, and he was a big part Candy changing. Mm-hmm. And she became, well, like he was a facilitator, now she facilitates in our group.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a big help for us. And in our groups, when we have people who are very, very angry, very upset, she has a way of just calming them down and saying words that are so comforting and leading and guiding, and they respond. And we're blessed to have people like that.
Yeah.
And but that's the goal, is to see them get healed.
Yeah.
Right.
And the forgiveness, you know, I never forget, someone told me, if you're going to hang on to unforgiveness, you're going to be chained to the past the rest of your life.
That's right.
Yeah.
I said, I don't think I want that. And so that's one of the things that we try to get across, is that you can't hang on to unforgiveness. You've got to forgive. It's a way to freedom. It's a way to new life.
Right.
You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself.
And it isn't something you're going to make happen. It's a choice to do it. You need to make the choice to forgive.
Right.
But it's...
An important part of your story, Candy, what I heard you say, is how important your group was.
It was.
Because this is the Christian way. It's, we don't learn to practice forgiveness all on our own.
No.
We need a community. So we need our church family. Mm-hmm. But I think specifically for people who've been through specific pain, like a divorce,
yes,
they need a smaller community,
yes,
of people that really understand what they're going through to
they
give
do.
You the encouragement to,
mm-hmm, and they
to
did.
Press on.
They did. And that's so comforting to know that somebody else has been where you are. And the hope for me was, you know what? They're past that now. They're not living where I'm living right now. They've moved on. And that offers a lot of hope.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful story, because what you did was Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And that you experienced forgiveness, mm-hmm, personally, but you experienced it relationally with your ex. But the what to emphasize in your story, but it started with you, mm-hmm, choosing a pathway of humility,
yes,
instead of accusation.
Exactly.
Because blame and accusation is the error the devil breeds. And as long as we keep pointing the finger at accusation, forgiveness is never possible. But to, because I mean, it's amazing to humble yourself and not only to ask forgiveness for one thing, but for 27 things.
Yeah,
yeah, because again, people who are outside the Christian faith, that makes no sense. Why would you do that? He hurt you. You should be telling him how awful he is, but to humble yourself and say, here is what I've done wrong. This is the Christian way. What we're saying is that it's going to end with us. Pain is going to end with us. And through God's grace and through the work of the Holy Spirit, God is going to transform that pain into something beautiful, and it looks like forgiving love.
Oh, it's I'll tell you, it's the key.
It is.
You can't heal. You can't get to where you want to be without forgiveness. I found that out, and boy, the only regret I have is that I didn't do it sooner.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have done it sooner. But in God's grace, he knew. He knew when the time was right.
Right. So. We're going to take some questions in just a moment, but is there any final thoughts either of you have that you wanted to share, or anything that didn't come out already?
Well, I want to encourage you, if you're in that place or know someone that's in that place, please encourage them to come, because you can't do it alone. You've got to have a support system. The enemy wants you out there alone and isolated so he can have his way with you. Come to the group and meet people who have been where you are and understand and see that it doesn't have to be this way. But keep coming. You can't just start and, no, you've got to keep coming and go through all of it, all the steps.
Anything else, Bob? Any final words of wisdom?
Well, in the groups where, like I say, there's 12 weeks. And in those 12 weeks, the classes are all different. We cover everything from anger to laughter and forgiveness. But I think the idea is, like she says, is to start and continue to come. And don't skip the classes. If you do, we got the material and we try to get it to them. But there's usually after they sit through the first class, we try to really get a lot of encouragement in the very first week.
Yeah.
And that gives them the groundwork to continue to come.
Right. Very good.
And when they know, like, I'll give them my phone number. I said, really, I don't care when it is. If you just feel hopeless or whatever, just call anytime. They need to know they have a connection somewhere. Somebody's going to hear them.
Very good. Let's give Candy and Bob a hand.
Thank you.
And now, if you have a question, I would like for you to raise your hand. I'm going to run over to you with the microphone so you can ask it in the mic so those who aren't here can catch it. Who's got a question for Bob or for Candy?
This could be for either one of you. I've gotten past the anger and the hatred and the desire to get even, and I really am to the point where I would like to express my part in everything that went on through my divorce. What do you recommend a person could do when you cannot in any way get the other party to participate? What in any way, shape, or form?
She won't respond. That's tough. What I would recommend, and Bob, you can differ, that's fine. Sometimes when we can't have that conversation with that person, I like to visually see in my mind's eye that me and the Lord are in a room together, and he and I are having a conversation. And I'm telling him all of this. I'm telling him all this hurt and pain, and I want to talk to blah, blah, blah. And it's just so comforting to know that he's there. He's listening to me. He's loving me. And I can see him cradling me in his arms and loving me. Sometimes you just need to get it out. Journaling, for one, helps a lot. but don't send them to them. I mean, that's one thing I learned. You don't write some of these things and send them. But you need to get all of that out. And if she's not, you know what? You're doing what God's asked you to do. You can't change her. You can't fix her. And it's her choice.
Will she not talk to you at all? No. Have you tried writing a note, a short one? Yep. No response?
Well, I think that there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. So forgiveness can be a one-way street. You can offer and walk in forgiveness, though not be reconciled, though that would be the goal, to at least reconcile as friends. But you can at least walk in forgiveness. Who else has a question? I'll run you the microphone. Any questions? I'm coming.
Well, this is not a question, but...
Well, I asked if anyone had a question. All right, make it into a question, okay.
About Bob tells shortly how he got into divorce recovery from his own divorce situation that made such a harder ministry to those, to the rest of us.
That's a good question. Did good, Donna. So tell us a little bit about how you got in divorce recovery, Bob, just yourself.
Well, this mine started in 1980 when I got involved. I was invited to go to singles class. And this lady, her name was Marie Schwabe. Short, stocky gal. And the first time I saw her, she was wearing a black dress. She scared me half to death. But anyway, after I listened to her for a little bit, she had mentioned that she had classes on Wednesday night. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go on Wednesday night, and I'm going to see what she has to say. But she was so dynamic, and she really was in tune with what the single person, divorced person went through. And I remember three things that she said. The first time I heard her, she said, "What are you doing?" And I thought somebody told her I was in the audience. "What are you doing? Where are you going? What are you going to do when you get there?" And I had enough to work on for about 3 weeks. I couldn't answer those questions. But what she was saying is, are you right with God? And I wasn't. But before I left that day, we took care of that. And I knew that I wanted to hear what she had to say and what our church had to say as much as I could. And I realized that if the doors were open, I needed to be there.
Yeah.
And that's how I began.
Very good. Anyone else with a question? Anyone else? One more opportunity. Yeah.
I'm sorry, this really isn't a question.
Now, we said we're taking questions, Laura.
I want you to share when the next class starts, and I want you to share what you taught us about the windshield and the rearview mirror.
That's a question.
You can't live in the past. I mean, and Bob teaches that over and over. You can't look back. Look at out the windshield. Look at everything God has for you out there. Why would you want to look back there? And when the forgiveness took place, I can look back there now. It doesn't hurt. It's just a part of my story. It doesn't hurt. But it can help other people to know. I don't live back there, and my past doesn't define who I am.
There isn't anything you can change about what happened in the past. No. If you want to look back at the past, and so many people continue to live there, what we try to get them to do is to start each day with something they know that's going to be positive for them going forward in that day. But when you look back at yesterday, you have to understand that the biggest thing you can do for yesterday is forgive it and decide that you're going to live for this day and live for others and let God lead you. But you won't change yesterday.
And when's the next class starting up, the new session?
It's just starting.
It's just starting.
Last night.
Okay, last night. So Tuesday night, 6:30?
6:30.
In the Life Center.
In the Life Center.
Yeah. And Bob teaches the class on an ongoing basis, so you can join at any time and
yes,
just cycle through. Any final questions? If not, we're going to pray together. Anyone else with a question? Anyone? Anyone? All right, stand up with me if you would, and we'll pray. Thank you, Candy. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you being here to share with us. It's a great story because there is no future. If we're looking through that windshield, if we're trying to figure out where we're going, there is no future without forgiveness. It'll keep us tied to our past. So let's pray and ask God to help us to be people of forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your servants, Bob, and for Candy, for the work that they do in loving and pouring into the lives of people that are working through the pain of divorce or painful relationship breakups. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this ministry, that you would expand their work, that they would reach more people, that they would be, Lord, instruments in your healing hands. And Lord, we believe in you that forgiveness is the way forward. So we ask that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to be people formed in forgiveness, that we might walk in forgiveness, that we might be a demonstration to the greater world around us that the way forward, that the way of hope is the way of forgiveness. Help us to do that together, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for coming tonight.